Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
This morning, I want to share with you, if you have your Bibles, in Leviticus chapter 6. The title of this message this morning, because I'm continuing with last week, we left off with Moses. Where the Bible teaches that when Moses got close to the burning bush, it just kept burning. But today, I want to share with you, the title is Fire on the Altar. You know that every believer, that's you and me, all of us have an altar. And on that altar, you have to put wood to keep the fire fresh. Amen. So if I would ask you this morning, how is your altar? When's the last time you put wood? And we're going to see how very clearly, chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. The New King James Version says this. You guys have it? And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every, what does it say? Every morning. Now remember, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, the Bible says that you and I are priests, royal priesthood. And it says, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Look at verse 13. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It says always. It shall never go out. Now, the New Living Translation says it this way, real quick. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Let me tell you, my brother and sister, your fire should never go out. It should never go out. Each morning, the priests, that's you and me, we'll add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. Remember, verse 13, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. The wood on the altar was the fuel for the fire on the altar. Anytime you read in the Old Testament, specifically like a great example, Leviticus, wood in the Bible always represents the cross. the cross. And notice that it says in verse 12, I mean, I just like the way it says it. He says, I want to give you the New Living Translation. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. The altar. The wood. Represents the cross. The wood represents the cross. We need wood, fresh wood. We need Jesus. Every morning. We'll make it so simple this morning. Every morning, we need Jesus. You want to be on fire for the Lord? We need Jesus. Even Paul, the Apostle Paul, the greatest man of God after Jesus, said this in Galatians 6:14. He said, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about the cross. Paul knew how important the cross was. He knew that there was power on the cross because Christ died on that cross. And he says in 1 Corinthians 1:19, he says, for the message of the cross, look what he says, is foolishness to those who are perishing. That means those who do not want nothing with Jesus. They don't want nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. When they hear about the cross, they say it's something foolish. But for us, church, we know that there is power. Amen. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's the reason why we're here this morning. Because the Lord has changed us, or he is changing us, and he is doing great things in our lives. That is the reason why we worship this morning. We praise God this morning. We give him glory and honor. Because we are so grateful for what Christ did on the cross. Did you know that in the Bible, like in Leviticus 9:24, it tells us that when fire came on an altar, that fire came from God. That fire came from God. In other words, it was an approval of God of his presence by sending the fire. In Leviticus 9:24, when you read that scripture, it talks about how the priests, they were present. The offerings were present. The tabernacle was present. And everyone was there. But all of that, hear me, church, all of that was incomplete without the fire from God. Let me tell you, church, you can have everything else, but you need the fire that comes from God. And I'm talking about the fire of the Holy Spirit. And because it was a fire from God, it had to be respected. That is what they believed. And take care of it. I don't know if you're understanding me this morning, church. You have to respect and you have to take care of your altar. Because the fire comes from God. The fire comes from God. This is a God thing. This is not a man thing. This comes straight from the throne of God. That's why you got to take care of it. You got to take care of your altar. You got to respect your altar, your relationship, your walk with Jesus. Hear me, church, this morning. Why? Because in reality, church, your fire should never go out. It might not be many times a big fire where we make a lot of noise. I remember my mother-in-law used to tell us, when we were in the youth group, she used to tell us, what's important is that as long as you have a little fire going, but that fire is constant. Are you hearing me this morning, church? Long as you got that little fire and it's constant and nothing is stopping you from serving God, to be radical for Jesus, church, we are on fire for the Lord. Oh, but it's a dangerous thing, church, when there is no fire, when there is no wood. Amen? Because if there's no word, there is no sacrifice. Hallelujah. It gets my attention because the Bible clearly says, remember, the fire must be kept burning. And you know what? As I mentioned, you and I are priests. That's what Peter says in the New Testament. A holy nation. You and I are separated for God. But notice that it was the priest's responsibility. Nobody else's. To go every day, every morning, grab the wood and put the wood on the altar. Did you know that it's your responsibility, church? Hello? It's not your mama. It's not your daddy. It's not your your uncle. It's not the pastors. It's not the leader. It is your own responsibility, your own duty every morning, every day, is that you go to that altar. And you add wood, fresh wood, to that altar. I mean, if I would ask you, I'm sure that you like everything fresh. Isn't that right? If you go to Broken Yolk, I bet you want those fresh eggs. Amen? Fresh hash browns. You see, it is your responsibility, my responsibility. And I want you to grab this, the word altar, because I'm going somewhere. When you go to the New Testament in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, verse 13, go with me. Hallelujah. See, church, the fire has to be burning continually. Every day on the altar. Why? So that it will not finish. It's continual. Now, when you read in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, Jesus before that had given a command, and he told his disciples, he says, I want all of you to go to the upper room, and I want you to pray and expect the coming of the Holy Spirit. And when you read verse 13 and verse 14, you're going to see that the Bible says, well, let's read it, verse 13. It says this. When they arrived, they went, where did they go? The Bible says they went upstairs to the room of the house where they were staying. It was their responsibility because Christ had given them the command. So, I mean, obviously they had to go upstairs to the upper room, the house where they were staying. And when you read verse 13 and verse 14, you will find out who was there. Verse 14, let me give you an example. Everyone, Peter, John, all the apostles, the disciples were there. But it gets my attention, verse 14, because how many know that prayer or obeying Jesus is not just for men, it's for women too. And it says in verse 14, it says, they all met together and were constantly, look what the Bible says, they were constantly. That means that it was not stopping. Amen? See, church, the fire has to be constantly burning. And they were constantly, it says, look what the Bible says, verse 14. They were constantly united in what? Prayer. Part of your altar, church, is having a prayer life. And they were constantly united in prayer. And look what he says. It says, along with Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the upper room praying. Let me throw this out there. That's why we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's why Mary, the mother of Jesus, was praying to the Father for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to get into that, but you get the point. But it says, when you go to the book of, in chapter 2, right there in the book of Acts, look what the Bible says. One day, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And look what he says, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that every one of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. But how were they filled with the Holy Spirit, church? Because they obeyed the command of Jesus. Go to the upper room and wait, pray and wait until the Spirit of God comes upon you. What does that mean? That means that they never gave up. They never quit. They kept on what? Praying. And because they believed the words of Jesus and they kept on, they persevered, the Spirit of God came upon them. But see, it was an everyday thing, church. See, sometimes we think that serving Jesus, it's every once in a while. Three weeks out of the whole year. Come on, church. No. Serving Jesus is every day. And it's not about, hear me, it's not about being religious. It's about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. which means that you trust God, you don't trust man. Your faith is in God. You recognize that he died for you on the cross. You recognize that he gave up his life for you. You recognize that he died for the sins of the world, that he died for your sins. And because you repented of your sins and you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now you have become a son and a daughter of God. And now you walk with Jesus. So what's so hard about serving Jesus every day? What's so hard about every day in the morning throwing some wood on your altar to keep your walk with God fresh? Come on, you drink water every day, or at least you should. You shower every day, right? We're not raise up a hand because anyone. Every day, church, is that you recognize that you have a Savior. But he's not only your Savior. He's your Lord. What does that mean, that he's my Lord? That means that he takes ownership from you. And I'm going to put it simple. This is what it means, I don't call the shots, you call the shots. I don't drive anymore, you drive Jesus. I'm on the passenger side. Amen. You take the wheel. That's what Christianity or being a disciple for Jesus is all about, church. Remember, once again, the fire has to be burning continually on the altar. Because if it's not, hear me, church, because if it's not burning continually, guess what? It's going to turn off. There's going to be no fire. And guess what? If you're not on fire, what's the opposite of fire? Cold. You get cold, church. Spiritually cold. Well, what does that mean, spiritually cold? Well, let me give you an example. You don't, church, the word, prayer, fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what I'm saying? There's not that hunger for the word or to live for Jesus. When you're not on fire, you get more influenced by the people outside who ain't serving Jesus. But see, the difference is this. When you're on fire for Jesus, you influence those outside. See, they don't stop you. Amen? They don't stop you. You have that fire in you. Come on, church. Don't get quiet on me. Earlier you were laughing and smiling. But when you're on fire, you stand your ground. When you're on fire, you keep your word. When you're on fire, you have priorities. When you're on fire, you take responsibility. Like this morning, you might have been out, but you know, hey, Sunday morning, 9:30, it's time to go to the house of God. Hallelujah. It's time to show up for Jesus. Just how you show up for a football game, but this is greater than a football game. This is celebrating the one who has won every single Super Bowl. And his name is Jesus Christ. Keep the altar. Fresh wood, church. Keep that fire burning. Keep that fire burning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Remember, the disciples, they were what? They were in the upper room. They were praying. They were united in prayer. And the Spirit of the Lord visited them there. Look what happens when you go to your own upper room, church. Did you know you have an upper room? Hallelujah. Do you know you have a prayer? Oh my gosh, the Lord just, you know how people have game rooms? Turn to your neighbor. They're talking to you now. Game rooms. You have all the game, all the videos. Nothing wrong with that. But let me ask you, I'm going to challenge you now. Okay, if you have a game room, you got to have a prayer room. War room, prayer room. There's people that invest hundreds and hundreds of dollars on games. Matter of fact, Lord have mercy. They talk to more people with headphones that they don't even know across the country. Come on, church. Let me talk to you this morning. Let me preach to you this morning. How about your prayer room? When you can talk to the creator of heaven and earth who is here right now. He's not overseas. I got him. Watch out. Hey. Nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me, church. We're just keeping it real this morning. There's even people that take their life. Or they get depressed, oppressed, because they lost a game. Come on, church. Some of you have been losing in life. It's time to win in the name of Jesus Christ, because you are an overcomer. So let me ask you, if you haven't gotten a, you got to get a prayer room. I recommend it. And guess what? It's free. Hallelujah. Prayer room. Today, you're saying, I'm going to get a prayer room. My altar. Because I need that fresh fire. Fresh fire. Talk to God. Let me tell you, church, God is your best friend. God is your best friend. Guess what? He will never fail you, and he will never forsake you. Guess what? He's your attorney. He has never lost a case. Hallelujah. Until now, he has never lost a case. He will fight for you, and you will hold your rest, church. Come on. You're right there getting depressed, sad, mad. Come on, take it to the Lord. Who's your daddy? Talk to your daddy. Hallelujah. Talk to your heavenly father. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, look, I'm looking at the time, but I'm going to go extra. So chill. You guys robbed me like at least 25 minutes. So. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But you, he's talking about you, disciples of Christ. How many here are disciples of Jesus? He says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret. Did you know that? God knows your secrets. All quiet now. Who sees in secret will reward you openly. Number one, verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room. In the times of Jesus, a room was also like a warehouse. It was like a special room. And in that room or that warehouse or that special room, what was in there were what? The treasures. Treasures. See, church, God has treasures for your life. But you got to go to that prayer room. Come on, church. See, we want the benefits. We want the blessings. We want the treasures. We want answers for life. We want answers for our marriage, for our children, our family. Guess what? God has the treasures in that room. Your closet. They're there. Whatever in life that you are in need, the treasures are there, church. But there's another part of that word, room. It also means, here it is, it also means, it has a meaning of that word, it means cut. What does that mean? That means that when you go to that room, you separate yourself. You cut everything else. You separate yourself from everything else to go to that room. To pray. And I know because I have a nephew. He's not here. He goes to church here, but he's not here right now. He plays games. There's times he goes in there and he shuts the door and he tells everybody, I'm being in the room, being in the game, so don't. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's the same thing. You shouldn't have no shame about that. Honey, wifey, whatever you call him, I'm going to be in my room praying. Because I got to go get some treasures. Hallelujah. Treasures of forgiveness. Treasures of restoration. Treasures of opportunities. Treasures that God is merciful. Treasures that God is almighty. Church, but you got to go to the room. And it was the only room, hear me, that had a door. That special room had a door. And Jesus, he says, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, see, once you shut the door, you cut off everything else. Do you want to go to Starbucks? No. Thank you, but I just shut the door. I'm going to my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want to go to Golden Corral? Oh, no, that one's closed already. Well, Polly's. You got to shut the door, church. And you got to shut the door to a lot of things. There's times you got to shut the door to people. Come on now. Shut the door on social media. Come on. Some of you almost lost your salvation because they had shut down TikTok for a while. And now you're trying to buy one on eBay for thousands of dollars. Just to watch 2-3 minute videos. Oh, I think the Lord is talking right now. Church, you hear me? No. Shut your door to spend time with your Father. He understands you. Matter of fact, right now this morning, I'm about to be done. He knows what you're going through. He knows why you're here this morning. He knows that you need a word. Some of you need healing.
Some of you, you know, you still, you know, you're asking, do I still got it? Let me tell you something. You still got it. Hallelujah. I said, you still got it. Amen. You still got it. You still got it. Hallelujah.
I'm saying that because that's the way the devil works. People, the devil, they sometimes they go hand in hand. Oh, hallelujah. But you still got it. Because God is a God of second chances. Amen. God is a God of opportunities. Hallelujah. And there is hope. There is hope, I said. Hallelujah. And God wants to use you. God wants to raise you up. God wants to remind you that God's going to save your son and your daughter and your children. And your whole fam will serve Jesus. I said your whole fam will serve Jesus. Hallelujah. Throw that fire. Throw the wood, church. Let me tell you something. It's not hard. This is an everyday thing. Just go to the Lord. That's how you add wood to the fire on your altar. The altar. And I'm going to stop here. I'll continue next week. Where I'll preach on stir up. Stir it up. Stir it up. That's next week. Stir it up. Stir up that fire. Please stand this morning, church.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.